how do driven entrepreneurs like you and me, who want to play the game of life at our full potential, actually do that so that we net seven figures a year and experience the overall exceptional life? It's all about leveraging our most valuable asset, our brain. But how do we train our brain to actually rewire our autopilot so that all of the right actions and focus happens automatically without thinking as we create the exceptional life in business, health, and our significant other relationships? These are the questions, and this is the podcast that answers them. This is where your net seven figures a year freedom begins.
Welcome. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So today we're going to talk about the idea of how to create happiness. Kelly, are you in favor of happiness?
I'm all about happiness.
Well, you know, there's a process for how to create it. You want to run with that?
You know, I think the key thing for me, and just kind of something that's foundational, is that the mind thrives on order. So, you know, right now I want people to envision the difference between, you know, look around your environment. If you're sitting at your desk right now, or, you know, you're in your vehicle, or, you know, those times when your desk is cluttered, you know, it looks like a bomb has gone off in your office,
right?
And just how cluttered that makes your mind feel. And then the difference between when you clear off your workspace and you get things organized, and how immediately you start to feel less anxiety, a little bit lighter, maybe you're thinking more clearly. Mm-hmm. And that's really how happiness works. You know, I think that so much of the anxiety and unhappiness that we create in our lives comes from being disorganized, being unclear about our path or the direction that we're going. And so, you know, I'll just start again with that foundational concept of the mind thrives on order.
That's great. And you know, here's sort of an extension of that, how happiness happens clinically. So the mind does thrive on order. And what that also means is that everything that comes into your consciousness is evaluated relative to your goals. It either supports your goals, goes against your goals, or is neutral to your goals. Most of the stuff coming in is neutral to your goals. But everything that comes in that supports your goals makes you happy, and everything that goes against your goals makes you unhappy. And, you know, I like the example of, you know, the idea that as an example, let's say you one of your goals in life is financial security. Okay. Well, you go in one Friday and the boss calls you into his office and goes, well, we're going to let you go. Well, guess what? You just got input that is contrary to your goal of financial security. Well, guess what? You're unhappy. Okay. And so you go home, you pack your stuff, you go home, and the next morning, you're still unhappy. You know, again, there's disorder in the mind relative to your goal. And so you probably mope around and stay unhappy. And then the next day you get up and you go, okay, I'm still unhappy, but I'm going to figure out a plan for getting another job. And you sit down at your kitchen table and you list out the 10 steps to getting a job. Well, suddenly once you sort of stand up and look at your list, you go, you know, why I don't feel unhappy anymore, you know, because you've put order in overlaid order over that disorder. And so does that make sense?
Absolutely. I can think about so many times in my business, you know, career life where I've been unhappy. And oftentimes it's because there's disorder, or I don't have a plan, or I'm unclear. So in that example you just gave, you know, there's uncertainty. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get from point A to point B. I don't have a job now all of a sudden, and I need one. So I'm putting these action steps in place. And through that process, I'm creating that order. And there have been so many times, and I'm sure that if you're listening, you can think of so many times in your life where you've been really stressed and unhappy. And then as soon as you put a plan in place, all of a sudden it's like the clouds lift and you feel that anxiety or that unhappiness starts to dissipate and you begin to get happy again, you know, because you're taking action and you've got a plan. So I love that. And I think about a time, John, you know, during the pandemic, right at the beginning of it, when there was just so much uncertainty and the rug was kind of pulled out from under and all of the goals, like you'd said, you know, all the goals and vision and forecasting that I had done felt like that all went away overnight, you know? Right. So it was like, all right, what can I control? You know, I can control my thoughts and I can control my actions. So let me start to put together, you know, kind of this action plan to help relieve some of that anxiety because I got really unhappy overnight.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
So I love that though. That's a great example, John.
You know, I remember my dating life, you know, so I didn't get married until I was in my 50s. So I did a lot of dating. And I remember, you know, if a girl broke up with me or I broke up with a girl, I was unhappy. But by God, I figured out a plan to get a new girlfriend. And I didn't stay unhappy for long. I'll tell you that. I was open for business.
I love it. Oh my gosh, I love that.
You know, I think back, you know, when I was 19 years old and I was a freshman at the University of Texas, and I read this great book, Psycho-Cybernetics. I mean, it's a world famous book, and it's cool. It's all about self-image and the power of having a strong self-image. And it was so transformative in my life at that age of 19. And so I read the book just for a second time just recently, although I require my students at the University of Texas in our class to read it. But I hadn't read it myself since I was probably 19. So I'm reading it. And they have a whole chapter on creating happiness. And I thought, so what I thought I'd do, I wrote down 7 or 8 things they mentioned. And let's see where this goes. I'll throw them out to you. You make a comment or two and we'll see what we get traction on.
Okay. Sounds good.
You know, the first one, it says to be happy, you got to live in the now, not the past, not the future. What do you think about that?
100%. And that's one of the things that's built into my GPS and so many of our clients is about being present.
Right.
Because for me, one of my challenges was worrying. Well, worrying lives in the future.
Yeah.
And it steals your time, your energy. And so I 100%, when I am present and in the moment and experiencing the moment I'm in, I am so much happier than when I am, you know, thinking about the future or reflecting on the past.
Right. And as we know, you can train your mind to do that.
Absolutely.
So that's powerful. You know, another thing it says is happiness is a mental habit. Boy, that is true. You can have the mental habit of not being happy, or you can have the mental habit of being happy, right?
Yep. And, you know, it's funny, again, this is something you can train.
Yeah.
So in my life GPS, in my visualization, it specifically says one of the things in there is I choose joy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think happiness is a state of mind. It's a choice. And there are some things that you can do to train yourself to do that.
Right. Right. Have you ever heard that Abe Lincoln quote that people are about as happy as they make their mind up to be? Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Abe Lincoln. Here's another one. Happiness is just thinking pleasing thoughts most of the time. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, relative to our methodology, you know, most of your thoughts are unconscious. So therefore, you have to wire your unconscious to be thinking happy thoughts most of the time. And if you're not, to trigger away from it. Another one is ignore stuff that irritates you. Sure. Okay. Okay. Again, around our methodology, you train your brain so that when you notice that you're either focused on the past or you're focused on something that irritates you, you trigger away from it. Here's another one. Don't let outward events cause you to be unhappy. Think about that. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of, when they're saying, I'm thinking too of when this was written. And, so that was probably pre-social media, right. Obviously, based on kind of the timing of it. But
it was the late 1800s, I think. When I was 19.
But no, I think that one of the things that we can do, and it said outside events, is that what it was?
Right. Right.
And there's some things that you can do to set yourself up. And I know it's important to be informed, but when you're sitting and you're listening or watching the news throughout the day or have the alert set up on your phone, to have the negative input coming in with everything that's going on in the world right now, you're on an upward, what's the word that I'm looking for? I mean, the odds are stacked against you that you're going to have a positive and happy day when you've got all of this negative input coming in.
Right. Well, and is your core happiness externally generated or internally generated? I think that's the essence of it. And, I think our attitude is, hey, I'm choosing happiness. There's going to be stuff that doesn't go my way. No problem. I got a plan. I'll deal with it. Won't even bother me. And so I think that's a key thing. And here's another one. It says self-esteem and self-worth is key to happiness. Boy, that is true, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. I think it's hard to find joy when you don't love yourself or when you don't feel worthy of love. And
right.
So I 100% agree with that one.
Right. Another one, if you think about the past, only reflect on the good stuff. When I read that, I was taking notes on the book. I thought, okay, I'm going to write down all the major good stuff that's happened to me in my life. And, I listed like 20 things. And then I listed all the sort of the maybe big moments in my life where I was really happy. And I thought, this is pretty interesting. I hadn't thought about this in a long time, but if I ever think about the past, I'm going to think about this stuff. I know that there was bad stuff and things that were not the most pleasant, but it's sort of a ancient memory. I see that life is a journey. I learn from the things that were unpleasant, but boy, they have no hold over me, and I have no regrets. What do you think about all that?
I think that that's true. When you first said that, having not read the book yet, when you first said that, I thought, well, I don't know. Let me process this for a second, because I think there's value in evaluating things that didn't go the way you wanted them to go.
Right.
You know what I mean? If in a brief, snapshot, just a real quick look in your rearview mirror to help inform so that you don't make the same, you learn from your failure is a strong word, but things that don't go your way. You know what I mean? So that was my first initial thought when you did that. But when you said that, but when you mentioned that in an overall, like you just presented it, absolutely. I think so many people let the bad things in their life define who they are and inform their stories about who they are. And so I 100% agree with you. And I think too, John, it's a matter of perception. I think you can either look at life is happening for you and there's a reason why you went through that thing that you went through, or life is happening to you.
Right.
And I think it's a mindset, and just a different way to frame it and a different way to look at the world.
Right. Right. And maybe the last one, it says, our habits fit our self-image. Whoa, that is true. Mm-hmm. Whatever your image, self-image is, your habits really do fit that. And so if your self-image is, hey, I'm a happy, friendly person, and I'm friendly and happy most of the time, I think that's powerful.
I do. I think that so is ultimately what that's saying, John, is that like, so your habits are a mirror to kind of where your head's at. So for example, if your self-image is, gosh, well, I feel lazy, you know, then maybe your habits are going to be aligned with that identity or self-image of somebody who's lazy, you know, or maybe you're watching too much streaming, you know, or playing too many, you know, putting too much time in on social media or whatever the case is. Is that really kind of what it's saying? And then also on the other side, if your self-image is, you know, I'm an action taker, you know, I'm a thriving business owner, then your habits are going to be aligned with yourself, with that self-image.
Right. Exactly. You know, if you see yourself as a successful business owner, you're creating the habit of I'm focusing on what moves the needle. I've got probably 5 or 6 or 7 key habits that I'm doing on a weekly basis, because my habits reflect who I see myself as. And, and our focus is to take entrepreneurs that typically are making $200,000 or $300,000 a year and teach them how to net over $1 million a year. Well, there's 7 habits that we teach people. And, you know, those habits reflect that mindset that I can net $1 million a year. And, you know, just a quick aside on that, I see how on the surface people often go, oh, I don't know that I can really do that. They may not say that to us, but that's in their head. And that's why I'm sort of excited, you know, our new webinar, we sort of address that. And, you know, that's, again, it's your expectations manifest themselves. So
John, what you were just saying then, so if, you know, with the client that might be thinking, oh, I don't really know that I can do that, you know, and maybe again, aren't verbalizing it, but that's something that's going on in their head. Is that then part of their self-image? That like, yeah, man,
absolutely.
Okay.
I they're thinking, I don't have the talent to do it. You know, I know John and Kelly had this methodology, but I don't know that I have the talent. Well, you know, you and me both had a little of that in us. And even though we had positive self-images, there was that. But I tell you, as we've evolved on this, I'm like, you know, if somebody else is making $1 million a year in your business, why not you?
Yep.
You know, they're not magically more smart than you are. In fact, let's just funnel hack them and see what they're doing from a marketing standpoint, and let's do that. Only just do it better. You know, this formula doesn't look that tough to me. but again, you know, you got to have the mental image that you deserve to make that. You're hardworking enough. You're smart enough. And so habits reflect what your self-image is.
Yep. Oh, so, absolutely.
Well, you know, to wrap this up, I think, again, the takeaway is that you can create happiness. And again, that clinical definition of happiness around this idea that everything that comes into your consciousness is evaluated relative to your goals. They either support your goals, go against your goals, or are neutral to your goals. And if you're unhappy, you just have to look and see what created the disorder. And then you have to overlay order, and suddenly you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty darn simple.
It's pretty simple for sure. I mean, and when you lay it out, and I love this about you, John, one of your really unique talents is that you have this ability to break something down that feels big and huge into something that just seems like, well, yeah, that's super easy. By the time you're done explaining it, I'm like, oh, so, you know, absolutely. You know, what you just said, and it's that simple.
Right. Right. Well, thank you for that. Of course, I've been working on it since the late 1800s. So, you know, I've developed this immense talent. Just grinding away at it. Okay. Well, that wraps us for today. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening today. If you've had your own aha moment from today's episode, send me or John an email. We'd love to share your epiphany with our audience. So email us at kelly@thinkitbeit.com or john@thinkitbeit.com. In the meantime, live the exceptional life.